Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
World is dark outside your window, so here on Potion Recaps, everything is electrifying. We are here on Potion Recaps on Everything is Super to cover The Power, Season 1, Episode 4. I am one of your hosts, Jason Reed. With me is my co-host, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
We're here, we're angry, we're ready to fight. That's how I feel like I am, because what an episode, Jason. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're ready to take to the streets. We're ready to protest for what we need to protest, march for what we need to march for. This was an interesting episode, I think, showing the sometimes consequences and sometimes power of their power. For all these women. So I think this was an interesting episode. We only got three kind of plot lines this episode. Were you surprised that we didn't touch on more of our characters that we've met so far?
Yeah, I think I would like a break from Joss. I think Joss is like really struggling, poor girl. So maybe we give her a break. And I think this episode, we really got to see, well, here's how the world would kind of take it in. So I think I needed it. So I wonder, again, we went back into like universe setting instead of plot. So is it like every third episode will be kind of plot? I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll move the plot, maybe get some sort of answers. But I think this was a good showing for some of our characters to see how they're going to deal with their individual powers, and to see. Yeah. I mean, in Toon Day, we get the male perspective in a way that's not just a pig-headed, like, no, not the women getting power. I think Toon Day is set up here in the world, interestingly, as kind of a third-party perspective. So I think that's really interesting as well, you know, until he tries to get himself involved and he sees the consequences of that for him. But we'll talk about him when we get to him. I think we got another episode where we just focused on individual characters' stories. So I think we could just, you know, go character by character and talk about what happened with them in the episode.
Sounds good.
I'll give you the option. Who do you want to run down first? Who do you want to talk about first?
I know. Do we do the big story or let's do Roxy. What do you think?
Let's get Roxy out of the way. I think Roxy had the, shortest, most A to B story in this, episode. So we'll tackle her first. So we start with her. With you know, her dad Bernie has taken her to a warehouse and literally just showing her dead body as if it's just like, here it is. Here's the guy that killed your mom.
That's been like hogtied.
Like it looks like rigor mortis is set in. And he's just like a rigid person. I don't know how you know how this was done, but it was a sight
this
to see.
Too much.
And Roxy, I don't know how much Roxy has familiarity in her father's life, her father's like mob life, but she's just kind of like, she's like, oh my god, that's a dead body. She's like, oh cool, like you got one of them, but there were two, like where's the other one? Bernie's like, can you just like drop this thing, like here, I killed one of the guys, isn't that good enough for you? And it's so it makes me feel like, you know, more evidence in this episode that Bernie was definitely the person behind this, because he's just trying to get this thing swept under the rug. He has, you know, killed, I guess, one of who we assume is probably one of his men that he ordered to kill Roxy's mom. Like, that, I mean, we are running on assumption at this point. We haven't got any like clarity on it, but that's my assumption, is that Bernie was definitely in on this and he has killed one of his guys to kind of give a bone to Roxy. Say, okay, you can drop it now. Let it go. Let's move on. But Roxy's not having it.
Yeah, and I think here is where Roxy should wake up. You know what I mean? And I know that she is like clouded with frustrations and sadness rather of her mom dying. But I just want her to wake up and be like, daddy did it.
Yeah, this is fishy. This is weird. This ain't great. So Bernie tells one of his sons. I honestly cannot get all the sons straight, to be honest with you. The names. I don't know. What is Daryl? What is Rick? Whoever.
And Terry. Terry's I think the favorite. Basically.
Yeah. He tells one of the brothers, hey, let's just take her out to the club. Take her out somewhere nice. Get her mind off of this. They take her to a club. I think probably later that night. She tries to get in. The bouncer isn't letting her. Because let's remember, Roxy is only, I think, probably 18 or 19 or so.
Yeah.
Or no, she's 16, isn't she?
She must be younger. Yeah. So she's 16.
She's 16. Her sweet 16, I think, is what the dad was talking about last episode. She's 16. She's not supposed to be in the club, but they tell her, hey, this is Bernie Monk's daughter, so let her in. Also, she threatens a guy. She threatens to toast the guy with her electricity. She's like, go ahead and smile for me. She makes him smile.
I love it.
Yeah. She gets in the club. You know, she spies a guy who, you know, the show is, you know, all the time trying to give us examples of, you know, these men that need to be taken down a peg. And this is another one where the guy is telling her, you can't even understand your power. Like, I'm an electrician. I can tell you all about your power. Like, it's pretty complex. You wouldn't understand.
And I literally couldn't stop laughing while I was watching this. And my mom's in town, Jason. So I not made her, but I was like, this is really interesting. We should watch it together. And she didn't catch it at first. And I was like, no, that's mansplaining. Here's what that means. And she's like, oh, that's true.
Yeah, so Roxy goes to kind of almost give him a shock, but one of her brothers stops her. So, and then they pretty much from here, the party is just underway. The party is partying. We got cocaine going. We got liquor flowing. Roxy is still thinking about her mom's death, though, and she's flashing back to that moment. She's seeing both of the guys that killed her mom. I thought almost that they were going to flash to like to the two guys, and it wasn't going to be one of the guys her dad killed. Like, I thought that it would be like, wait a minute, that's not the guy that my dad showed me, is not one of these guys. So that's something.
That's what I thought too. Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
But I do think, looking back on it, that they didn't show the other guy, but I think that probably was one of the guys, and it's the other guy that Roxy is focused on. She wants this guy. You know, she cries to one of her brothers about missing her mom, and her brother like gives her some cocaine to settle her down, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I think really is going to lead into a lot of the trouble coming up in Roxy's story. Like, she's getting a lot of cocaine. She's really putting it up her nose. She's in the clubs. They're still in the club. Roxy's still wondering why, like, her dad is so slow to like really try and solve this, get the other guy. She's wondering why he's so slow in this. I mean, we don't want to tell you, Roxy, but I mean, you know, probably because your dad has something to do with it. She keeps trying to, she keeps telling her brother she wants to deal with their brother. Say, hey, you have to trust dad. Like, in they tell her that, you know, she's their dad's favorite and he's just trying to protect her. Roxy says she doesn't need protecting. The brothers try to keep calming her down. And apparently Roxy's heard the name Tony and is wondering who this Tony guy is. And her brother, Daryl, like, kind of just tells her, like, straight out who he is, where he is. And apparently he is the one, he is the other accomplice in Roxy's mother's murder.
And it seems like everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone knows where Roxy,
apparently.
That's
what's pissing me off. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that is maybe clued in the brothers. I don't know. And so I think because everyone's so high and so liquored up at the moment.
Oh, my God.
She kind of, you know, she convinces them to let her go to Tony's house. Like, there's a lot of struggle trying to get Roxy out of the car. But she basically threatens them. So they all just get in the car. They all go over to Tony's house. Tony answers the door. He says, he doesn't, you know, I think if I had, like, you know, killed someone's mom and locked her away, I would have recognized Roxy's face. But Tony does not seem to recognize who Roxy is at first.
They're hitmen, right? I bet this is like their full-time job. So they're like, which one is this one? I don't know. Because I locked her in a closet.
Yeah, I mean, knowing I had killed this young person's mother, and with the knowledge now that young women everywhere are getting this, like, electricity power, I probably wouldn't have answered the door. I would have looked outside, like, oh, yeah, I'm not answering that door, and just, like, ran out in my house.
That's
but, I
true.
Mean,
that's true.
But, like, Tony answers the door. He's like, hey, who are you? What do you want? So Roxy is pretty much, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think this is, like, a perfect example of, like, teenage girls not being taken serious. And I think this is like where even the bouncer, right? Bouncer's like, hey, just don't do it inside, right? It's like, this is like part of who they are. You wouldn't, if Superman shows up to your club, you're not gonna be like, hey man, no flying here. They'd be like, show it again. Yeah. So just like, get it together, people.
And I do think part of it is the interesting thing is to show like how seriously it's being taken in different parts of the world. For like in Saudi Arabia, we will see that it's taken seriously because they're banning it. They don't want the women there showing it. Here it's just, it doesn't seem like it's reached here yet. I mean, I think the thing to compare this to that, you know, everyone would be comparing it to is sort of like COVID in a way where it's like in different parts of the world, different people are taking it different levels of serious.
Yeah, I like that.
Where here it's just like in London, it's like, ah, you got little electricity powers, good for you. Like the guy's joking with the woman instead of being scared of what the women can do.
And it's like, so, we've had enough of your shit.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, big deal. You got some electricity powers. Like, don't get too big for your britches or whatever. But Roxy is starting to show like, don't mess with me. So Roxy gets she goes to shock him at first, but her powers don't work at first.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah. Do we think it's because she was like high on coke or what?
Six hits of coke.
Yeah. So was this like, is this part of something that will affect your powers? So that was an interesting thing that I hope they delve into a little more about what can affect the powers and what can stop the powers if need be.
Yeah, or I wonder if it is a moment of like so much frustration that it's not channeled. And then I think she gets really pissed that it doesn't work. So then she goes so overpowered with how she pushes it all through. That at least that's what I was thinking too. It's either one, she's high out of her damn mind. Or secondly, like, does it require like some focus?
Yeah, because I mean, she tries to shock the guy. It doesn't work. The guy ends up like smacking her or cracking her in the face. That gets her like even more upset, but so it starts working at that point. She starts shocking him, and as she's shocking him, the guy, like Tony, is trying to like I guess bargain with her, like, hey, I'll tell you everything, which again is like, oh, tell me everything, what do you mean tell me everything? Oh, it was your dad that hired me to kill your mom. But he doesn't really get it all out. She tells him, I know it was you, that's all I need to know. And she shocks him so hard that he like is electrified into a fence, sets like it looks like a bunch of like trash or something on fire around him.
Yes.
And then so we then get like some, I guess, bodyguards of the bodyguard coming like
this, or they're just like probably all like together kind of like hanging out or whatever.
Well, they come in a car later. As she shocks him, like they pull up in a car. Roxy's brothers get into a brawl with all the other hitmen that have come to save their hitman buddy. So there's all this fighting. The hitmen go into the house to try and regroup, I guess. They start firing outside their windows. Roxy and her brothers get into the car. The brothers are firing back at the hitmen. There's a firefight going on, basically. There's a lot of gunplay happening here between Roxy's brothers and the hitmen inside the house. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening? Terry gets shot through the car window. And I mean, I think pretty much killed. I mean, I don't think there's any hope. They're trying to get him to somewhere for help, but I'm pretty sure he's just dead at this point.
I think I did not go back and watch but I think there was a bullet through his head.
Yeah, I think so, because there was a lot of spray inside the car. Like, everyone got sprayed with blood in the car. I mean, Terry's done. Terry's gone. Mm-hmm. So they're panicking inside the car. Roxy is screaming. They tell her to drive to their dad's house. They get to their dad's house, and they scream for their father. They take Terry out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Dad comes out, and it's everyone screaming. Babs is trying to get at Roxy through Babs, who is Bernie's wife, who is Terry's mom, is trying to get at Roxy through the car, and they have to pull her away. It's a really kind of harrowing scene. It's really emotional, because I mean, this is a consequence here of the power. This is Roxy got, Roxy is all about chaos, and she wants her justice now, and that's what it got her. That's what going headstrong into this really caused Terry's death. And you hear the boys as they're like talking to their dad, like, it's Roxy's fault. Roxy did this. Roxy got Terry killed. I will be interested to see what the relationship between Roxy and her dad is after this. Because, he may look at this as Roxy's fault.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And I think that Terry was one of the only brothers that really, I think, was ride or die for Roxy, like, compared to the others. Like, the others really do care about her, but it felt like he was very much, no, we got to help her out. Like, that's my, friend. And I think it must be because they're the same age.
Yeah, because when Roxy's mom was pregnant with her, Babs is pregnant with Terry. Yes. So they are about the same age. They definitely felt more. They felt like the more brother and sister pair than even the other brothers to Roxy. So this is definitely a devastating loss, probably for her more than if it happened to any of the other brothers as well.
Yeah, this was just like really sad, and I just couldn't believe. I was like, why him? Damn.
Yeah, I mean, he was the one that was pumping her full of drugs, though.
Correct.
Probably just because he's a dumb idiot. And yeah, he kind of really instigated her in a number of ways here, maybe unintentionally. Mm-hmm. And this is really the consequence of what this brought. I think in this episode, particularly with Roxy's storyline and Allie's storyline, it's kind of like it's interesting that these were the two that were paired up in this episode that have power.
Yeah,
because Roxy's more about like chaos and going headstrong into things, and Allie is taking a more methodical approach in a way.
Yes.
I mean, of course, led by the voice. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see the kind of the dichotomy between these two people and how they are using their power. Roxy is using her power all out, showingly, but Allie, as we're going to talk about, is more subtle and subdued with her power.
Yeah. Agreed. And I wonder if that is kind of the setup now, like the Roxy's of the world versus like the Allie's of the world, because I don't know that either of them aren't justified, right? Like, I can't even be mad at Roxy, but it's also just like, just like take a breath, because you could actually use your power for good, quote unquote. And what good I mean is like good redemption. But, when you're in pain and you lost your mom and you saw it happen, I don't know how else you could act.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe this will be a learning lesson for her, hopefully, to go about things a little more subtly. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a shame we had to lose Terry in the process, but, that's how the cookie crumbles. I'm excited to see what the repercussions are of this episode for Roxy down the line.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was pretty much right. That was Roxy's Roxy's story was kind of short, but it was effective. I think in showing how I think not, we're not just going to see just two ways to use your power, like over the top, like showy or just subdued. I think there are going to be so many different facets of the way people use their power. I think that's going to be an interesting part to see how each of our characters down the line use their power and in what ways they do. Who do you want to hit on next? We got Allie and Tunde. Oof.
Allie's like such a good. Let's end with Allie, right? Because it feels better. That's like the more feel good. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Saudi Arabia.
Let's go to Saudi Arabia. Tunde is in Saudi Arabia. He's in his cab. He asks the cab driver, says, "Hey, have you heard about all the girls with the electric hands?" He says, "No, I haven't seen it, but you know, we don't want it here. It's been banned here." And he says, "Besides, it's only girls anyway." Is it just like?
Let's like, fight, you know.
They're just throwing to the side anyway. It doesn't matter. They are beneath us, so it doesn't even matter what they can do. I was like, oh, okay, we're starting out this storyline in this way. So we'll see where this ends up.
Are we surprised?
Yeah, he gets into the city, and we see through our vantage point. I think Tunde also sees someone kind of sparking their power behind. They've hidden themselves behind a trash can. We see the young girl lighting up her fingers with her electricity in secret. Tunde goes to his hotel. He starts making a video because, you know, we know from last episode that he's been hired by CNN to kind of be a reporter on the ground for this new phenomenon. He's telling the camera about how, you know, electricity has been outlawed in Saudi Arabia. They aren't allowing journalists in officially to report on this, but he has snuck in via a student visa. To be kind of a reporter on the ground there.
Yeah. Let's see Tunde, because I said it, Jason, last time that, you know, this might be a baddie, but I'll take it back. I think it's almost like a well-meaning in the way person, right? Or not in the way. That's not even the right. Where I think that he stepped on a woman to get, you know, where he needs to be, and I hope and I think he'll do the right thing and really help get the word out. But also, I think sees himself as a savior, which I just want to note.
He's well intentioned, but I think we're going to see a learning experience for Tunde in this episode, and I hope also throughout the series as he comes to terms with his shortcomings and how he has contributed to maybe his role in putting women down in a way, not even intentionally, but just kind of realizing how he has contributed to this.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because I don't think he's even really given another thought about like what he did to Duty in the other episodes.
No, I don't think so.
And I hope we see his growth and we see him learning and figuring out how he contributed to that.
Yeah.
He says he's there to investigate how the law is impacting the women there. So we go back to the young girl practicing her electricity powers behind trash cans. There are two girls watching her from a window. We find out her name is Amal. She's practicing her electricity. A group of boys find her doing it and really begin to harass her and kind of shame her for the powers, yell at her for practicing her powers. They start actually striking her. And there are women that come to her rescue, and it kind of causes a scene. But there are also women there which I find interesting are shaming her as well. Seemingly some older ladies that are there as well, telling her they shouldn't be doing this. This is shameful, which I thought was very interesting to see. And yeah. I'm kind of glad in a way we saw that, because it's not. I don't want it to be a thing where it's like all women are for this, all women are into this. I think that's a good way to show kind of the realness of the issue.
Yeah. And that is what's going to happen. I think in a space like Saudi Arabia, right, where generations of women have lived under, I'm trying to like find the right words, because I don't want to.
They maybe lived like in oppressed. A submissive. They've lived in a submissive role. But that's what they've been taught, and that's what they
exactly.
It's ingrained in that culture.
Yeah, and for some women, you know, that must work, right? And not that much work, but they, you know, it's ingrained in them, and they're like, "This is my life. I'm not, you know," and it works, and it is what it is. I have, you know, maybe a family that's supportive, and you know, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, and it's fine, but. in, you know, overall in reality, if you look at what's going on in just this one country, I mean, it's painful. And, you know, the way women have to dress here, and I don't necessarily mean this in like a Western person, right? Like looking on, it's just, it's known that there are harmful practices and voting issues. I think women were allowed to vote first time in 2015. And, you know, women in power, right? It's just now happening. And then employment issues, property issues, like women walking around alone without male guardianship, right? Like these are real issues in this country, and not just this country. I want to make that clear. But since we are in Saudi Arabia, like it's not a joke where I remember when women couldn't, I think it's changed now, but women couldn't drive with period. And then I think you had to have like a male guardian as well. So it's just, I want to note that, like, I think it has been generational frustration and generational, like, maybe okay, right, with the status quo, where now I think women are getting power and we're able to see like how in this patriarchal society that is like directly an attack on the power, right, of men and the privilege that men have kind of enjoyed for millennia here. So it's really, it's an interesting space where I wonder what would happen if this was real, where women actually could fight back and not just, you know, be prosecuted in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about before we started recording, like how timely this show is, mm-hmm. where in Iran we have women protesting wearing of the hijab, and how like this is a little kind of a parallel to that in a way. And I don't think even the producers of the power like
thought
they would be having like that in time for their show. So it's an interesting way to kind of look at that from a different lens.
I
thought this was a really, really great way of seeing that in this, and all the sequences here from this point on for the 10-day storyline were so, like, I think you used the word visceral before I started recording, and that's a very apt word to use it. So visceral to see, like, and what feels like what would really be happening in this situation.
Correct. Yeah. And for the folks that, you know, want to learn more about Iran, like make sure you look up Mahsa Amini protest, because it was her wrongful death that while she was in police custody is what sparked this. And I mean, and Jason, it felt like I was just like watching all of this stuff happen, you know, in real time through the show, because it was like, oh, the women are fighting back and they're laying down their lives for this, you know, while the world just kind of watches.
Yeah. You talked about the wrongful death there that sparked the protests and everything. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a similar situation happened here.
Yeah, that's true.
With Amal being struck by these men mm-hmm. that were harassing her, and then she seems to be in a bad way. And that's really what kind of sparks this outrage and this protest and these marches, because she gets struck. Her mother finds her. Her mother's trying to get her help. But we see that it's, we see a crowd kind of outside the place where Amal is being held, and they won't let her out. The cops are on their way, but the cops trying to break this up. One of the girls mm-hmm. comes in and electrocutes one of the cops. So this is a point where it's getting really tense in this moment.
Yes.
So they are able to blast past people, keeping Amal in the house. They bring her out. They get her into a car to take her to help. The women start like walking beside the car and, you know, chanting like, "See us, hear us," as they walk with the car to the hospital. You know, I know it's a show, but my first thought was like, okay, I don't know why the car's moving so slow if we're trying to get this woman help. Like, I know we want to be slow for the protesters, but we need to get her to the hospital. That's just a funny thing I thought about as the car was slow moving to keep up with the protesters. But I thought it was funny. The march continues. Tende is kind of he's got to act like you would see a CNN and MSNBC reporter. Mm-hmm. He's walking with the women. He's literally recording, reporting as he's witnessing women using their power in the protests and in the march. And then we see a couple of women. Looks like they charge up the car and they get it to blow up. It really reminded me of like a something like a Gambit from X-Men, right? Like he can use like kinetic energy to like power something up and make it explode. That's what I thought about. Like they seem to charged up, they run away from the car and it explodes. That, you know, that's just more kind of a inciting incidents for this march, and to see how powerful the women are showing their power, like through action.
Agreed.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, Tunde is taping. One of the women protesting, he's just getting all these shots, and they're coming into a place. They're getting resistance from the police. Mm-hmm. The police are getting kind of overwhelmed in a way, so they start firing into the crowd. And we see the person, one of the people that Tunde is recording, literally gets like shot and killed right in front of him. Looks like he maybe gets a graze from the bullet as well. But at that point, once the cops start, you know, killing people, then they get like really just subdued by a bunch of women electrocuting them. They stop them. We see more women killing cops with their electricity. They start to fill wherever they are with tear gas. Tunde, you know, is given help by a woman named Nora. She asks, are you a journalist? He says yes. Like, oh, you should have come here with a fixer, which I'm assuming is someone that's there to like just look over journalists and protect them. He says he's not. Nora tells him to stay close. She's going to help him out. We then see kind of this wide shot of this city, as we now see the protests and the marches gone into the many of thousands as they all walk through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Just very effective shot.
Yeah. And it just feels, it just felt visceral. That's why when I was thinking about, well, how are we going to podcast about it? But it's just, it's so important, and I know we keep saying that, but it just, watching it just felt like a visceral frustration, and it's like, why can't some version of this happen in real life, where these helpless, they're not helpless, but women that need extra help, as they're protesting and as they're fighting for their life, like maybe just get more help, like, you know, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, things like this have happened in real life. I can remember, different protests that have gone on, throughout our life. And we see those shots of the city streets as people start to fill it up. And that really was reminiscent of this shot here. So I applaud them for capturing it in the way they did. The marches continue down one of the streets. We see a note. Someone has thrown a note from a window and saying that she's been trapped inside the house by a man, as we hear the man inside trying to get her to come back inside through the window. So women go up and they kill the man, keeping her captive, and they bring her back down. They bring the captured girl outside, and they seemingly, she is someone that is older and does not cannot have the power. So they transfer the power to her. As we know from the last drop of episodes, women can transfer the power to other women by, you know, kind of lightly, I guess, charging their collarbone, which is where the organ is. So they all light up their fingers in unison at the march. Tunde looks on. He is awe-inspired, it looks like. Well, he literally says in narration, he says, it's awe-inspiring to see this new freedom being passed from one hand to the next. And across the world, a sleeping giant has been awakened, and this day will be known as the Day of the Girls.
And I loved it, right?
Like, you again, applauded.
It's so important. It's like, how do I make this happen? IRL, mm-hmm. right? Like, I just, all those little girls that just, like, need help and don't have it yet. Like, I wish that, you know, there is this for them. Ugh.
Yes. The protests have intensified even more as the episode keeps going on. There just looks to be a standoff with police and what seems to be, I guess, their version of a National Guard. We have tanks coming in. We have soldiers in the streets, and the soldiers start going to the crowd and beating people. A bunch of women then step up to the tank, which one of the most interesting like VFX moments in this episode. They come to the tank and a bunch of the ladies start electrocuting the tank, and the soldiers inside the tank just start like, you know, getting electrocuted, obviously, because they're inside this tank and they're just like electrocuting them from the outside of the tank. And I was like, oh damn, that's impressive, that's cool. Gunfire starts erupting. It's a really hectic scene, and then one of the women in the crowd notice one of the men, one of the soldiers. She calls out there. She has Rashid, and we find out this is Rashid's mom. And she tells him to have mercy and to let them pass. And heaven lies at his mother's feet. She approaches the tank as the troops lower their weapons. There now seems to be this like uneasy peace. Now the troops have really kind of stopped, and they're. I guess I don't know what it is. I don't know what was your interpretation of what really happened here. Like, why did the troops just kind of lay down their weapons here?
I think for one, right, there it literally is this man's mom. This is so bad, but it's unfortunately a known thing that sometimes, right, men will be like, it could be your sister or your mom, so you should treat women well. No, it's like, women are just people, so you should treat them well. But this was very much that moment, right, of like, it's literally this guy's mom. And what is he going to do? Attack his own mom? There is a lot of beautiful moments in Islam. And I think this is definitely one of them, right? Where the way she speaks and the way there is a lot of respect for our elders in Islam. So I think there's a moment of like, you see the beauty of all of that. And I think that the others are kind of like, right, they're not trying to kill us. They're just trying to get through. So yeah, maybe we just let this happen, because what's the point of so much bloodshed? I hope that's what they were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great sentiment for the show. I just, unfortunately, I'm a little bit too of a pessimistic and realist. I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't really happen in real life. But I mean, this isn't real life. This is a sci-fi show. But it felt a little too easy to me in a way.
I mean, because it's so easy for them to just get gunned down, and that's a like a flaw I feel in this power, where electricity is great, but how do you harness that against a bullet?
Right, it's really a close range kind of offensive ability compared to a longer range bullet thing is a problem. But you know, hey, that's the issue for the show to figure out, not
exactly.
Us. As the marches continue, Tunde sees a woman kind of in a way. I don't want to say torturing, but kind of messing with one of the soldiers by kind of like shocking them and just kind of picking on them.
Playing with her food. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Playing with her food. Tunde starts to step in and tells her to, hey, stop shocking him. Big mistake, Tunde. And so because of that, a bunch of the women are like it's as if he was invisible before. And like, he stepped outside of his invisibility cloak and just like, hey, stop. They're like, oh, it's a dude. I mean, as the reaction to Tunde seems to be all the time when he infiltrates a group of women. Hey, it's a dude. Get him. So they start kind of shocking Tunde because he has stepped in and kind of made himself known here. Nora comes over, and because she's supposed to be, you know, watching him, helping him out, she comes over and stops the ladies. She gets Tunde out of there.
Yep.
As the women turn their attention back onto the soldier, I did think the woman electrocuting the soldier was a good addition here, because I don't want it to be seen as like, oh, all these women are so, you know, great, and like I want somebody there to be like, you know, kind of I mean, justifiably so, of course.
Yes. No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But to be kind of like, you know, she's using this power like, a little
not 100%. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Listen, you. The point is, men have got to be like less than perfect for so long. It's okay. It's time.
Yes, and I'm glad that they showed that. Yes, there were these people as well as the other people like doing this for justice. It's good to see somebody being like, I just want to kind of shock the crap out of somebody that has been like a kind of a dick. Like, I mean, like I said, it's justified. It's justified irresponsibility in a way.
Correct.
When you're so oppressed for so long, sometimes you just want to, you know, F around and find out. So I was glad they added that in there.
Yeah.
So Nora is with Tunde. She says his only job is to watch here and to not get involved. I mean, if you're going to be a part of the press, like, be part of the press is supposed to be like a third party and not to get involved. That's why you see press in so many war zones that aren't, you know, to be touched. Basically, I think it's a common understanding that the press are not, I mean, you know, some people don't heed that, but the press are supposed to be kind of third party watchers and not to get involved. Tunde is trying to call his boss to tell him about all the footage he got, and his boss is like, you're aware? Like, no, I need you to get out of there. I will not take your footage while you are there. You know, once you get out of there, we can talk, but I'm not going to take anything from you while you are in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that was?
I think they just know it's a liability. I think it's very basic of they're like, well, I can't run this because I don't want the liability of your body on my hands.
Yeah. And I think it's understood from the government, from the Saudi Arabian government. Yes. They don't want anybody there. They don't want press there. So I think it's a way of being like, we don't want to come up. We don't want to run up against the Saudi Arabian government. We don't want to run this and they know you're there and then they come and get you. We want to make sure that you're out before we run this so that you don't get the risk of being taken and killed, basically.
Yeah.
Nora wants him to get his stuff, and she will take him to the airport. Tunde gets to his hotel room to get his stuff, and he finds that his room has been totally ransacked. All his stuff's been gone through. All his cameras are out. He's pretty shocked. He meets back up with Nora, tells her about the room, and Nora says, well, they probably want your footage. More than likely, you've been put on a no-fly list now. Nora and... you know, they see more bloodshed. A soldier kills a woman, and so Nora and Tunde run off. Nora says she's gonna take him to her friend's apartment. They get there, and Tunde is trying to upload his videos, and Nora says she's gonna make arrangements to get him out of there. I wasn't sure what to think of Nora throughout most of this episode. What were you feeling about Nora as we met her and making our way through the episode, through 10 days part of the episode?
Yeah, I'm excited for Nora, right? I think Nora is someone that's on the ground that is truly wanting good for her country and for the women. She's obviously very smart because she immediately says, oh, you're on the no-fly list for sure. Like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. And is almost a fixer where she's able to then be like, no, but I got people. I'll get you across to Jordan, basically. Like, you'll be fine. And I think this is the kind of person that's or the vehicle, right, of Nora is where we get to see that this isn't a place that we're just like, oh, forget about Saudi Arabia, you know, just like leave it. It's this like godforsaken place. No, it's like this, it's this beautiful place with beautiful people that is being led by maybe folks that aren't.
Yeah,
the best.
Up until this moment that we're getting ready to talk about with Nora, I wasn't sure what to think of Nora. I was like, is she seems like a very smart person. She seems to be a very savvy person. So I wasn't sure what her motives were for taking Tunde in at first.
Not real,
But I think as we'll see, I think her motivations were in the right place. Mm-hmm. Tunde is treating his wound from he got grazed by the bullet earlier. Nora is helping him. He tells her, thank you so much for the help. And listen, I'm going to get you out of here. You know, don't worry about it. I mean, as you said, Tunde is seeing himself as a savior in this moment.
Yeah. And it's like, stop it.
Yeah. Nora gets offended and she says, oh, you think because you've been here a day, you know anything about my country? She says she's not fighting to leave. She's fighting for her people. She tells him about her life and about how she got out of Saudi Arabia. She went to Egypt, got herself an education. She wants all women to have what she has. She loves her country. And she kind of turns back on him. She's like, how would you feel if someone came into your country and told you how you should feel about living in your country? He says, yeah, I guess that'd be pretty irritating.
Wake up.
Yeah. So I thought that was such a poignant moment for Nora and Tunde to kind of show, kind of turn the mirror on Tunde. See, like, do you see what you're saying right now? Like, do you see how you're acting at this moment? Like, who do you think you are?
And there is not one country in the world, right, that can be like, yeah, it's perfect. What do you mean?
Yeah. So I think Tunde, I think it's a big part of his Tunde's lessons here.
Yes.
Showing himself to be kind of a self-appointed savior where he definitely shouldn't be. In narration, because Tunde is on his way out of the country. He's gotten his transportation arranged. He's kind of narrating and he's saying, you know, for women all over the world, it's the dawn of a new day with new freedoms, new privileges, and new abilities. It's a byproduct of new power, but his liberation is not without its costs. It's a law of nature that for every action, there's a reaction, but we must all be better than our nature. For those of us committed to the equality of all humanity, it must be our mission to ensure that the price of this new day dawning is not too steep. And I believe we can, in our inherent goodness, I have hope in the bright rebirth beyond this reckoning. I was like, wow, that's pretty deep for Tunde.
Right? Oh, this was such good writing. Again, I think even last week, the ending monologue was really strong. But again, it's just everything he was saying, I was like, damn, you're right. Like, yep. Beautiful. This is so, I just, you know, another shout out to the writing because, even to hear it from Tunde's voice, right, as someone that was in it and was that's in it, but without truly being in it, we're able to, I think, see how the world sees this and how this is actually going to be kind of bad for a lot of these women.
Yeah, I think Tunde being cast kind of in the third party perspective role is good because he is a man that doesn't have any kind of real connections to women besides like duty being his friend. He doesn't have a wife. Yeah. He doesn't have a daughter. So I think that's a good person to cast in kind of this third party watcher to kind of give us a look into that. He doesn't have a personal connection is basically what I'm trying to say. We don't have to worry about how he feels about his wife or his daughter having the power. He can just kind of look in kind of a reporter's eye to give us kind of that perspective of it. So I think Tunde is an interesting character, and I'm excited to see. It looks like from the preview that he's going to maybe meet up with Margot next episode. So I'm interested to see what's going to come of that. This was the kind of narration that ended the episode of the show, and I thought it was very a very good ending to kind of give us a closing on all these women that have embraced their power and are seeing how some parts of the world are adjusting to it.
Agreed. And again, I find this to be really exciting and visceral. So it's just, this show is it, man. If y'all aren't watching, wake up.
Wake up. So that leaves us with our final storyline of the episode with Allie. Allie's still at the convent. They are watching kind of a news report and kind of a really like a tutorial in a way for us as viewers on how what they are calling the electrical organ discharge or EOD, which I think we're going to that's going to be kind of our buzz acronym for the rest of the show to say like electrical powers. They're going to just call it EOD now. So they say the EOD comes from what they're calling the skein, which is the organ that we saw last episode on the collarbone. And there are thousands of disc-like cells called electrocytes and electroplexes. They are stacked together along the collarbone, and the charge comes from pushing electrons through the cells in one direction and then letting them go out the other way. That's where the kind of brunt of the charge comes from. They show us that any limb can produce electricity. We saw that with Allie last episode as she was shooting electricity kind of out of her feet as she was kind of stopping them. Allie's out in the field doing, I guess, chores and stuff. She sees a girl out in the field kind of shocking herself on the leg. I was like, what is she doing? Turns out she's kind of shaving her legs with the electricity because
laser hair removal.
Yeah, exactly. They don't allow the girls to have razors there. So that's how she's getting rid of the hair on her legs.
Listen, one thing women have done since the dawn of time is figure out beautification techniques, and it felt so real. Where I think that would be one of the first things I do was as a like Indian woman with that has a lot of hair, like not in the like way Mindy Kaling likes to make fun of it, but it's just that's a reality. So yeah, I think I'd be like laser hair removal for free. In my hands.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. The girl says if Sister Veronica sees her using the powers, then she's going to get her phone taken away again. The voice tells Allie, she says, see, that's why you're special, because you can use the power in ways that people won't see. So we see Allie going to feed chickens on the farm. She realizes there's like a metal conduction plate at the bottom of the chicken coop. The voice tells her to use her power in stealth mode and use electricity to hijack the chicken's mind, like she saw the eels do in the aquarium. So Allie starts making the bird walk, making the bird peck, and making the bird fly, try to fly too. But the voice says, "Allie, you know chickens can't fly. What are you doing?" That was a very a kind of a levity moment. We don't get many levity moments in this show so far. This was a pretty fun one here in this sequence with the bird. The voice then says, "Okay, so make it stop." So Allie electrocutes the bird and kills the bird. Sister Veronica sees this taking place, and we see Sister Veronica later talking to Sister Maria, telling her that electricity powers are the devil's work. Maria says, "Come on, people said that about TV, about rock and roll, and about women wearing pants."
Correct.
Veronica says she doesn't trust Eve, and Eve is the name that Allie has come up with while attending the convent, and she thinks Eve is lying about who she is. Maria says, I don't really care if she's lying about who she is. We still need to help her. She feels that Eve is special. It reminds her of Veronica, who, leads people. Like, that's what she does. And she thinks that Allie could do the same thing. Veronica worries about it. She's like, "I'm worried about what kind of influence she will have. I believe she can lead people, but what will her influence be?" And once the storm passes, she is out of here. We see Allie outside of the door overhearing all this. And she says in her mind, she's, "The good ones never let you stay."
Yeah.
The voice says, "Hey, you can stay if you want. You just have to own this place." It's like, oh, here's more steps toward the revolution. And Allie kind of taking what she thinks she needs or what she wants. It's like, oh yeah, this is going to pop off. Allie's walking through the convent, and she sees a bunch of the girls kind of with a dead bird. They found a dead bird inside the convent. Mm-hmm. The voice tells Allie, "Show these other girls what you can do." Allie takes the bird. The voice explains that bodies run on electricity, and this bird's body just needs a jump start. So Allie kind of embraces the bird. We see kind of inside of the bird's body, at its heart. And Allie is concentrating her electricity into the bird. The bird comes back to life. She throws it up. The bird starts flying again. It's
Allie's
a miracle.
A literal EKG machine.
Yeah, and she's doing what kind of the voice told her to do. Like, don't let them see you do it. Just kind of do it. Like, you don't need to be showy with your electricity. You can kind of just make it a smaller, I guess, impact.
Which feels very opposite of Roxy.
Yeah, so it's like it's interesting to see those two parallels in this episode where Roxy is so showy, but Allie just kind of like, I don't need to be showy. I can show my power in a more subtle way. To get more people to follow her. Because, I mean, Roxy is chaotic, and Allie's really measured in what she does.
And Allie does have a voice. Roxy doesn't.
Yes, exactly. I really love that theory you came up with last episode, where this may be the voice of the future talking to Allie. I don't know how this show is going to incorporate that, because it doesn't seem to be what this type of show is right now. But I can see a season one cliffhanger of we go 50 years to the future, and future Allie is communicating with her younger self. I think that would be so cool. But I'm curious of how this show is going to pull that off.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? We keep hearing that Allie has started to have the same power as eels, right? Where she can literally command people to do whatever. Like, she can take over.
Yeah, so far it's only been their chicken, but
correct. But in 50 years. Yeah. So that's why I just feel like if Allie could do that, what more can she do when she masters this?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, expansion of the world, which I think probably wouldn't come until a season two, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna jump into all that in the first season.
No, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, especially since we only have 10 episodes and we're on episode 4.
Yeah.
Allie and some of the other girls are down by the beach. One of the girls tells Allie that she's looking to get rid of her power as soon as she can. We find out that her daughter was taken away from her, And she tells a story of how she found out she had her power by a guy sticking his finger up her butt. And she says it was like an on switch. And she's wondering if she goes back up there. She's going to find an off switch. Allie says, no, you probably just have shit covered hands.
Which Allie, I just have to say, right? Like this happens to, like has happened to so many women. It's just like this casual sexual assault. And you're just like, okay. Like, did that just happen to me? And the way the world kind of normalizes. Yeah. Everything or almost not normalized, but you almost have to make it feel like it's a thing that just happens, or you're not like stuck in that trauma all your life. It's just, it's wild. So I'm just like, oh, it's just so, it's so frustrating that this poor girl has had to deal with this, and instead of kind of owning her power, she's like, I just gotta get rid of it. I don't want to deal with what this will mean for me in the world.
Yeah, like, as far as she's seen, she's only been ostracized for the power.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sure that incident with that guy is what got her to the convent in the first place. And now she's at the convent. They are shaming her for having the power. She's not allowed to do it. I mean, similar to the way they are in Saudi Arabia, but you know, it's an interesting parallel. But the Allie brings some of the girls together. She says, look, this was no accident. They got these powers, and people now all over the world are trying to stop us, wondering how they can dim our light. Basically, we even treat it like garbage. And now here we are, and we got the power because we need it. Allie's not sure if it's God, but maybe she is evening things out for them. If it is God, maybe she's realized that the women are stepping up, so they've been given this to kind of even the odds. The party has moved into like a little farmhouse later that night. The girls are all there kind of goofing around, playing the piano. Then we get this sequence with these two girls. One of them is Luann. I don't know the other one's name. But they're joking about using the electricity on their cooch, as they put it. So Luann lets the other girl use kind of the electricity, I'll keep using their parlance, on her cooch. Luann ends up really liking it. The two girls kiss. The voice tells Allie, you know, this is what Allie's been searching for, a true family. That she can have all her own. Sister Maria comes in, tells them to, you know, head to the dorms because the storm is getting ready to come. I just thought it was funny. Like, Sister Maria is coming in, getting all the girls riled up. She's like, you know, it smells like tobacco in here.
Sister Maria is, I think, one of the best characters that's going to come out of it, because Sister Maria just like is really trying to be down with these people, but it's just like they keep trying her. I can now confidently see Sister Maria getting the power.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Because she's still ride or die for like all of these girls, compared to the mate Veronica, Sister Veronica.
Yeah, but I don't know if it would make sense in this world, because she would have to have the organ. She doesn't necessarily have the organ.
Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of that. I would love Sister Maria to get the power, because that would kind of, in this world, tell us, like, it's not about who you were born to be. It's about who you become. Exactly. So I would love for that to be the case. So the Sister Maria comes in and gets everybody back inside. Back in the convent, they're all praying over the storm, all the sisters anyway. And Luann, who I realized is who we saw, I think in the last episode or episode before, seizing in the comment before, and a couple episodes ago.
Oh yes,
she may be epileptic. I'm not sure what the deal is with Luann.
Yeah,
but this has happened before. They're all used to it. They say, "Oh yeah, you just need to lay her down. She'll stop in a bit." So Allie, you know, takes the opportunity and she grabs Luann, and she's getting ready to do her thing, to try and like she did it with the chicken. She maybe I'll do it with a human body. Sister Veronica comes in and begins to tell she's not allowed to use electricity. But Allie says, "Hey, shut up. Let me do what I'm doing." The voice tells her to feel the way, just like she did with the bird. Find the glitch. Find the short circuit.
So good.
Allie grabs Luann's head. She shocks Luann's head, and Luann stops seizing, but it looks like she might be dead. You know, there's of course a momentary like gasp of like, oh my god, she just killed Luann.
Yes.
But of course Luann wakes up, her eyes, you know, bulging big, like, oh my god. The girls are all astonished. Sister Veronica is shocked, of course. We do see one of the girls in the room taking a video of what's happening. So I'm wondering if, you know, this is going to be another like Tunde like clip that's going to get circulated around the world to kind of show more of what the power can do. So
that's true. I think it might. Let's see.
Yeah. Did you have any thought like I did about what would happen if Allie accidentally killed Luann? If she maybe got too confident in her powers and ended up killing Luann instead of helping her?
I think that's why she had to kill the chicken, if that makes sense, so that we could get this moment. So I do think that if she kills Luann, she's immediately just like kicked out. Or Allie ends up leaving and maybe doesn't use her power ever again. You know what I mean? Because we see it, especially on Allie's way to the convent, like all the good stuff she's done. So we know that Allie is a good person inside. So I just don't know that she could live with herself, you know, had she done that. So I don't think for the story it could have happened.
Yeah, I think I'm just looking for something to not go Allie's way.
Right.
At this point, to kind of trip her up a little bit.
Listen, her whole life has not gone her
That's
way.
True. Yes, that is definitely true. But it seems like she has grown so far into this. Mm. I'm just looking for something to kind of trip her up.
I see what you mean. Okay.
Because it seems her journey seems to have been pretty slick to this point. You know, from the getting of the power to now. She's been making all the right moves. The voice has been accurate. I'm looking for the voice maybe to steer her in a wrong direction at some point, so that it's not totally such a steamroll through this journey that Allie's got. I'm looking for something bad to happen.
That's real.
Just make her journey a little more complicated. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, there would have been too many bad repercussions if she had accidentally killed Luann.
Yeah, I just think the story doesn't move forward.
Yeah, true. I still think some people would follow her, but they may follow her just out of the convent. I don't know.
True.
I don't know. Sister Veronica is praying and calls for Eve to come to her and tells her that there are repercussions for using electricity and she's going to need to leave. Allie says she can't, you know, Sister Veronica can't tell them what to do anymore. She walks out of the room and all the, you know, a bunch of the other girls get up and follow Allie. Allie and the other girls are walking along the beach and they just kind of look, you know, just they're looking. I'm curious to know what this means. Like, are they leaving the convent? Are they staying at the convent, but they're just going to have their own place? Like, what? I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Allie's story moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm going to need Sister Veronica to, like, tap into her activist days, because what is happening, right? Like, this feels so weird.
I think she's kind of a cautious activist in a way. Like, she doesn't...
But we saw her get arrested, so, like, damn.
I mean, she's arrested for causes she believes in. Maybe she just doesn't believe in this cause. She doesn't believe, like... I mean, what she said, this is the devil's work, because this is someone that is willing to go against the church, but she's still high in her faith.
Which is
an interesting kind of combination into a character. So I think she just has her own opinion about the power. She doesn't trust it. She believes it's the devil's work, as she said.
Yes, that's valid. Ugh.
Yeah. So I mean, that's pretty much her episode for the week. I'm really like enjoying the series so far.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Again, it's just I think it's much needed in this world with what's just going on every other day, right? Like the stuff we're getting, it feels like a refresher on, again, what could be and how, you know, women should just keep actualizing their powers. It's our time.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of holds up a mirror to our current society while not being a pure reflection, because obviously we don't have people here that have electricity powers, but mm-hmm. it is in a way showing a mirror to our society now. And as we talked about last episode, it's kind of the antithesis of like The Handmaid's Tale, where now we're uplifting women instead of trying to figure out how to survive in a world where women are really, really, really oppressed in The Handmaid's Tale. So I think that's an interesting dichotomy, interesting thing to see. I'm excited for upcoming episodes. We, of course, will be bringing you the next episode of The Power next week. Sasha, what have you been up to? Where can they find you online?
Yes. In addition to being here, I will be on the Mess Magnet every week talking celebrity, pop culture, gossip, vibes only. Check that out over on Rob as a podcast with Mess Magnet. And I'll be on the Big Brother stuff, Canada on RHAP this week as well. So check that out. And something new, like I said last time, is coming next Wednesday. So for everything I'm up to, just follow me on Twitter at funsize_04 to know more. What about you, Jason?
The peoples can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. I am every week along with Asia Welch talking about the show Married at First Sight on our podcast, A Perfect Match. So come check that out. As I keep saying, you don't need to watch the show to hear us. We break it all down for you every episode. We have a lot of fun. We have a Facebook page. We have a whole bunch of stuff going on. So come check us out there. Also this week, if you are watching the phenomenon Love is Blind, you may see me on the Love is Blind or Hap Up along with Asia and Mary Krakowski this week as we talk about the new batch episodes that just dropped. That is where you can find me. Sasha, you got anything else? You good?
No, that's it. Leave us a 5-star review, y'all.
Yes, leave us that 5-star review. Let us know what you like in the show. Let us know if there's anything you thought we missed and you want us to talk about. We'll come back at you next week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.